Well, hello, you're listening to Funeral 614, where we explain the fun in funerals, factual, useful, and noteworthy information. I am your host, Lori Diaz, the funeral chick, and this episode is dedicated to the 9 lives who were lost in a terrible tragedy. Among those lost were Kobe Bryant and his daughter, Gigi Bryant, John, Carrie, and Alyssa, Altobella, Sarah and Peyton Chester, Christina Mauser, and Era Zaboyan, the pilot. Our prayers, thoughts, and our condolences go out to their families. Rest in power and rest in peace. This is a special episode of Funeral 614. We're at the Central Ohio Memorial Tribute for Kobe Bryant and others who passed in on last Sunday. And so I'm joined today with 2 co-hosts, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is LaShonda C. Coleman. I am here because I have coached girls basketball at the high school level. I also coach boys in youth league.
I'm Ronald Price. I'm here to represent for Kobe Bryant and the ones that we lost. Played high school basketball and also college basketball. Kobe taught me a lot.
And I think today's episode, we just really want to reflect because we noticed that the community as a whole across the nation kind of have really been mourning the loss, this loss. It's really been a tough one. It's been a rough week. And so I'm just going to start the first question I'm going to ask the co-host. Where were you when you heard?
I was at home, sleep. I had my phone on Do Not Disturb from the previous night. I woke up with about 30 missed calls and about 14, 15 or something text messages. I didn't believe it when I first saw it. So I went to the internet. There was nothing up there. So I just didn't believe it at all. It did probably like 5 minutes after that. It started hitting the internet real hard and real heavy. Videos start coming out and I cried.
Listen, I don't think there was anybody.
I know, right?
It was devastating. What about you, LaShonda? Where were you?
I was at home. I actually am a huge sports fan, and so I have the ESPN app on my phone. But my youngest son actually sent me a text message and asked me if I had heard about Kobe Bryant dying in a plane crash. And I was like, that's not true. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't get the alert on my phone. And then when I actually, like, closed out of the text from him, I opened up my ESPN app and it was there. And I was just like, what? This ain't real. Like, can't but when that. ESPN reported it, I'm like, this is real. Like, right. This is serious.
I was at a community event, getting ready to go to a meeting. I was at a community event and same thing. My daughter sent a text. She we have a parent chat group, so she mm-hmm. sent a text to say that Mom Kobe Bryant passed. I'm like, what? And so then mm-hmm. I started getting on. She sent the link, the TMZ link, and I'm like, and you know me, I'm like, if TMZ said it, right. It's real.
Right.
But I think that it was just shocking. I was supposed to be trying to pay attention to the community event that I mm-hmm. went to, but I was just overwhelmed with, wow.
Right.
Just thinking about the loss and how it affected. And then at that time, we didn't really know who was also mm-hmm. on the helicopter. No one knew any details. So it went from, you know, his entire family mm-hmm. to, mm-hmm. Rick Fox to, you went through a whole lot of different connections and feelings through that process.
I think the text that I got, my youngest son said something about him and his daughters being on the helicopter. And I was like, no, that's not even, that's not true. So I think those different stories were running around and that was the message that I had got from him.
Right. Now, what do you think will be defined as his legacy? What do you think will be defined? How do you define his legacy?
Oh, man, that's tough. I would say from things that I've been reading, the following that I've had for him, just that whole Mamba mentality, that work hard, no excuses, don't be last, you know, finish first, be the first one in the gym or be the last one out. Right. I think that legacy of just wanting to work hard and not giving excuses for what it is that you're trying to accomplish. Like if there's something that you want to accomplish, you got to work for it. Like nothing is going to be handed to you. You have to work for it.
Right. I think when I was looking at just reading and just looking at different videos and different interviews, I was thinking, I wonder if people really paid attention really to what he was saying while he was living, because it seemed like after watching it later, you're like,
yeah,
whoa, yeah. You said that then? It's, I mean, just his always wanting to be a better version of yourself, and then how he talked about how after he had that Achilles heel injury, how coming back really taught him another lesson in basketball of how to kind of start over. He said he kind of started from ground over, and for him to kind of come in and then play three additional years past that injury, it's like, I think he just, I don't know, he just embodied more than basketball, but his basketball lessons really could convert easily over to something that you could apply in your everyday life.
Yep, I agree.
One of the things I think we were teasing earlier, because Sean is a, what do we say, your boy mom. She doesn't have any girls. But how do you think, you know, he started coaching his daughter, and so you coach. So how do you, as a coach, I think even I didn't play basketball, I played volleyball, but we had a relationship with our coach. I mean, a very loving relationship. It turned into something that turned into a friendship. So I know that the girls really, you know, adored and loved him. Plus, you know, who wouldn't want to be coached by, you know,
Kobe Bryant? Right.
Who wouldn't want to say my coach is Kobe Bryant? No, you're not. He's not. AAU. That's awesome. That's awesome. So talk about your coaching experience and coaching girls.
Well, I would say that coaching girls is definitely different than coaching boys. Let's talk about that first. But I coached girls basketball at the high school level for 5 years. And like you're saying, you build those relationships with those girls. And at that time, those were my daughters. Like, I didn't have kids at that time when I was coaching. I didn't have my son till after I got done, which is he's the reason why I stopped. But those become your daughters, and you build those relationships with them.
Right.
And they come to you before they come to their parents sometime. And so it's a blessing in disguise, especially if you don't have kids when you're coaching.
Right.
High school 12 or not even 12 14 to 18 year old young girls with attitudes and with their own mindset and their desire to want to be better at a sport that is, you know, basically for the male gender. And so I felt the connection with them, and we bumped heads a few times, but I think that as a female, there's a different connection. But I think that with him and his daughter, it was something different, and it was something special because he played the game probably harder than me. I had no desire to play after high school. I didn't put in a lot of work. It was basically, I'm going to play in middle school, I'm going to play in high school because it's something to do. I didn't want to play in college or at the professional level. But I think that she was so much like him, and I've seen so many videos of her and then watching him, just the way that they were built, the skills that she had, like you could see him in her, like he was teaching her to be me, like, but be better, you know, be a girl version of me. And so I think that that was something special. I was actually talking to someone, you know, knowing that her dream school was UConn. But I was so obsessed, and I watched a lot of her videos over the years as they started, you know, advertising them. But I was so looking forward to watching her develop over the years her get to UConn. Yeah, it was just like something. And I think that that was really what hurt me, too. Was the fact that I'm not going to be able to see that. And that's probably selfish. And there's probably so many other people that wanted to see the same thing that followed her. But I was really looking forward to watching her develop over the years.
Right. I think when one of the videos I was watching, it talked about, he was talking about how he would outwork people because mm-hmm. he would get to the gym. Even in high school, he said he would come at 4 a.m. and sometimes it was just him and his coach. Mm-hmm. And he said sometimes it was just him and the janitor that was still at that time mm-hmm. still working at the school. And so he was talking about how he had hooked up the janitor, I guess, really just kind of say thank you that he was right. there all that time.
Right.
But he said he had taught that same work ethic to his daughter. Mm-hmm. So after she had expressed she wanted to learn how to play, mm-hmm. he was like, okay, well then you'll be getting up.
Right.
We'll be at the gym at 4 o'clock so that we could start the, mm-hmm. Start the exercise yeah. or whatever. And it was just his, I mean, hands down, his work ethic is just, I think that that is what made him into a great player
yeah.
because he yep. just, he was so laser focused, like, okay, look, this is what I'm going to do. And I think also what made it special is that he played in one place the mm-hmm. whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he grew, he went with the ups and down and yeah. just being an organization that long. So
yeah.
I thought that that yeah. Was awesome.
I agree.
One of the things that I think he also taught was passion.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. I think that you could see he was passionate about basketball, but he shared that same passion about his family.
Yeah.
And I think that you could see that even sometimes they say you can just look at a picture and you can kind of get a story.
Yeah.
You see the picture
yeah.
of them and their family. It just looked like
right.
they had just like that cute family that just, I mean, had a lot of fun. Plus, you know, all the women in the house.
Oh,
I just think
yeah.
that probably was a little overwhelming as well because I have
yeah.
two girls, so I can imagine what that was like. But I think he was really enjoying being, I think he enjoyed being a dad with the older girls, but I think because he had retired for Bianca and Capri, he was going to
yes.
be able to be there
and watch
and really kind of watch them mm-hmm. grow up. Because, I mean, I'm sure he watched Natalia and Gigi grow up, but
he was gone a lot.
Yeah, he was gone a lot. So it's just like he actually was able to kind of, do the
yeah.
nighttime routine.
Right, right. Well, and he even said that in an interview that I watched, and I found myself just watching him so much now. But he even said that, I can't remember who he was talking to, but he even said that, like, you know, now that I'm retired and I have my youngest daughters, I can be there more often and get to see stuff that I didn't get to see with my two oldest.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. He was just an incredible athlete, and I think just even a more incredible dad.
Yeah.
And so I think his death just across the country, I was talking, we did a grief podcast yesterday, and the therapist was talking about how grief sometimes is like a pebble that goes into the water, and then
mm-hmm.
you just see the ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we really saw the ripple effect here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we know that their core family is hurting, but
yeah.
I think just across
yeah.
spectrums, it's like even younger kids
right.
were like
right.
devastated.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's not too many people in our that we'll see in our generation
right.
that will have that effect.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
he definitely had that.
Yeah. And it's so crazy because, you know, I see the different posts about it's okay to mourn someone that you don't actually know, but there's a lot of people that feel like we know him because we grew up with
mm-hmm.
him. I mean, I'm 39 and he was 41, and although he wasn't my favorite player,
right.
I still grew up alongside of him
mm-hmm.
as a player. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, I mean, the mourning, the tears that I have, like, I had those tears to where my throat was like, you know, you crying
right.
and
right.
your throat start hurting and you
right.
can't breathe. Like,
right.
that type of mourning is
right.
what I've had
right.
over these last few days. And it's just like, it just sucks. It just sucks. And you look at it and it's like, I heard somebody say, like, he was supposed to live forever. Like, he was one of those players that...
Right. That's what icons do.
He was supposed to live forever.
That's what icons do.
Yeah.
The legends don't die. They live forever.
They live forever. And so it's just, like, the mourning and how... somebody else had said something about how he was so great that he's brought so many people together and how we're just all mourning together.
Right.
And it doesn't matter the race, your age.
Right.
Like, everybody's mourning for this one person, and that's how great he was because it brought us all together during this time.
Right. And I think I was glad I found an article that basically did talk about how can you have such
yeah,
sadness for
yeah.
someone. And it just said how he shared himself. It's like, we made time to watch it. Mm-hmm. We scheduled our life around, hey, this game is coming around, yep. coming on at this time, yep. and I got to be home, yep. or I got to be at this place to watch it, or I'm going to go here. Mm-hmm. And so that, us making those provisions in our life kind of was like, we did yeah. kind of know him. We kind of yeah. feel like we do know him on a, yeah. on a first name basis.
Right. Even though
we had never really met him, but right. but that's the type of impact that yeah. he had. That's, I mean, it just, it's really more than, it's more than basketball. I think, when we posted that we were going to have the Central Ohio Memorial Tribute, one of the ladies on there, kind of commented about it being, oh, he's just a basketball player. Mm-hmm. You do, and mm-hmm. I'm thinking it was really more than that, because yeah. the effect that he had on other people was really way yeah. past basketball.
Yeah.
And I think when I looked at his Kobe in the community was the hashtag, but when I looked at it, it talked about how Make a Wish, he had did over 250 yep. Make a Wish, yep. and that he had been to almost half of the 50 mm-hmm. states doing those, and the oldest one was like 81 mm-hmm. to granting a wish to a 3-year-old, and so when you saw him, he just had that, I mean, he had like that innate funny ability that he just was like, yeah. oh, that's a cool dude.
Yeah.
Even when I was watching him on Ellen, I mean, uh-huh. just watching yeah. late night hosts, yep. I mean, people yep. broke up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, normally people try to save face, that, you know, right. they try not to, you know, yeah. be broke down in public, right. but I'm,
it's like that listen, throat punch cry.
Jimmy Kimmel, Ellen, I mean, Ellen, just every, mm-hmm. Shaq, yeah. just everybody just yep. broke down. And I think it just talks about the relationship and the friendship and the brotherhood and the sisterhood that he kind mm-hmm. of, that he had with people. So,
and I think we have to realize, too, that there's a lot of stuff that he done in public, but there's a lot of stuff that he done behind the scenes, and there's stuff that we don't know. Right. And so there's people that's like, oh, well, how can you mourn for someone that you don't even know, and you don't even know what he did? But if you have all these people that knew him that's now talking about the things that he did, that was stuff that we didn't even know about.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's doing stuff, right. like you just mentioned, like, we didn't get to go. He didn't film all that stuff that he was doing, so we right. wouldn't have known about it.
Right. And I think one of the other parts that the that the person said, she said, well, we don't even know his church. Church
Catholic.
She said, like, we don't even know if he
why,
had a, if why he
would
had
we
a
need
church.
To know that?
And what was funny about it, the same day that she said that on social media was an article on CNN that
about
said at 7 a.m. he had went to mass.
Yeah.
So I said, you can't judge a person. But mm-mm. he found it, but that even talks about his life too. He found it important that on that day, him and yep. Gigi, they're going to go.
Yep.
They're going to take that time. He kind of knew, hey, my day's got all this going. I'm going to go.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and bless myself and do yep. whatever. I'm not Catholic, so I'm not quite sure all of the ritual, what they do. But
right.
I know he went.
Right.
And yep. so I know that he found that important. And they said he would always come. But he would find himself, he would sit in the back so he wouldn't be a distraction mm-hmm. to the mass. And so that kind of, to me, kind of speaks volumes to the type of person that he is.
Yeah.
I was looking on Facebook and I found this article that talked about this graphic designer that designed an unofficial funeral program for Kobe Bryant. And I reached out to her and I told her that we're getting ready to do this podcast and that I'd like to have her on the show to kind of talk about mm-hmm. What inspired her to do that. So we're getting ready to call her and I'll have her introduce herself.
Hello.
Hi, this is Lori from Funeral 614. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm fine. We are actually at a Central Ohio Memorial Tribute for Kobe Bryant and the okay. others who passed in the helicopter tragedy. And we want to talk to you. Do you have a few moments?
Yep.
Okay. One of the things we were talking about before we called you was we were talking about how the community as a whole has you know, expressed sentiments about his passing. So where were you when you found out that Kobe Bryant passed?
We were actually at Fridays. We had just got out of church. We were at Fridays eating dinner. Me, my husband, and my kids. Yep. And my girlfriend sent me a text. And, of course, I think like everybody else, I kind of looked at it and was like, no, this can't be real.
Right.
And then once I kind of confirmed it, yep, we literally packed up the food and had to leave because it kind of hit harder than you would have thought it would have hit at that time. Yeah.
Right. And so are you a Kobe fan or just is your husband a Kobe fan, or you just kind of felt the sentiment of just how he, the person that he is?
I think a lot of people are Kobe fans because you can't do anything but respect his game.
Right.
So, you know, growing up, he definitely was, you know, one that we looked up to, a person that, you know, he did his craft and he did it well.
And now that we're talking about doing a craft, I believe that you do your craft well. I was telling our co-host today about the unofficial program that you made. What inspired you to kind of create that?
Well, I mean, that's what I do. So I've been doing graphic design for like this, the last maybe like 15 years at this point. And I really have fell in love with doing funeral programs. You know, I guess with the funeral program, you could put your own touch on it, your own spin, because everybody has a different story. So as a creator, it challenges me to try to make each page speak life, if that makes sense. So I create funeral programs for, you know, people, who live in our area, out of state. And then when a big public figure dies, you know, I try to commemorate them with a design. So, you know, my thing was everybody sees Kobe and they see basketball. And, you know, I could have put something out last week, but I had to wait and I tried to, you know, look for the right pictures. So I wanted to use pictures that he did not have on a jersey. He didn't have on purple and gold. I wanted to portray like the man, the husband, the father. So when I found those pictures, you know, it was perfect. And, you know, I kind of waited for a while. When it came to me, you know, just started designing it. You know, it's not really me designing. It's just their life speaking through the pages, if that makes sense. Like, you know, it's my design because I'm creating it, but it's their life.
Right.
So the better the life, the better the design.
And I think you did an awesome job. Now, what is the name of the, what is the name of your company?
Gift of Graphics.
You said Gift. I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
Gift of Graphics, GIFTOF Graphics with an F.
Now, how can our listeners, if they want, do you design, you know, for other people out of state, or how would they reach you if they wanted to have something designed?
Yep. So they can reach me through my website, which is giftofgraphics.com, or email me at giftofgraphics@gmail.com. You know, just let me know when, you know, when the funeral is, and let me know, you know, I always get a little bit of something about the deceased that I could kind of put into my design. But yep, they can reach me on those platforms if they have Instagram. My Instagram handle is Moni from Mars, M-O-N-I from M-A-R-S, and Monica Key Stanley on Facebook.
Well, I appreciate that so much. I think my co-host might have a question for you.
Hi, Monica. My name is LaShonda.
Hey, LaShonda. How are you?
I'm doing good. So I'm going through the program, and I love it. I love it so much. And I just wanted to know, how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it for about 15 years. But, okay, like, when I started, I really wasn't that good. I honestly wasn't. It was just something that I liked to do. And, you know, the more I studied, the more I practiced. I mean, I can't really say I got better. I just believe that my creativity kind of opened up.
Yeah.
Because anybody can know how to use the program. But the hardest part is just to create it. Because you could have 10 people pass away today. You need to do 10 funeral programs, but you need to have 10 unique designs.
Right.
So the hardest part is to think about those different designs. But yep, I've been doing it for about 15 years. And I would say the last 6 or 7 years have been my best as far as creative style is concerned. Okay.
So let me ask you a question, because I'm here, I'm looking at the quotes section. And so, what inspired you to pick these particular quotes? Because if we, now that, you know, Kobe has passed, and so there's so much that's out there, so many videos, so many quotes that I've been seeing. And so you had a plethora of stuff that you could have picked from. What inspired you to pick these particular quotes that's on here?
You know, I tried to pick. I didn't want to just pick basketball quotes or determination quotes. I kind of wanted to find the all around him. So those quotes just seemed to kind of fit with his entire character.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
And I think how you described how you have gotten better over the years is kind of like the almost the mama mentality, because you're always trying to be the better version of yourself. So you almost kind of embody what Kobe's legacy is, just even in your own passion and your own craft. So that's that's awesome. Yeah. Now, one of the things that I shared this article on Because of Them We Can, I shared it on my page. And some people have said, how can we get a copy? So can people purchase them or how does that work?
As of right now, so when I didn't do it to profit off of his death.
Absolutely.
So I didn't know that it was going to reach as many people. Now I am thinking about kind of selling them, but my thinking is, you know, a lot of people have asked me and they're coming to me as fans, right? They're like, I really want to have that in the house. And of course, the printing is going to cost me. But if I can find a way to get with his charities and kind of, you know, split the profits or whatever and, you know, get the prints at a good price, I can, you know, I might think about doing it. And it's just because I know they're going to buy something anyway. They're going to buy memorabilia anyway. So if it's something that they want, I hope I can make it available soon.
Right. They're going to get a t-shirt or they're going to get, get something.
They'll get something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I really thank you again. I want you to just give your business one more time. Give it a shout out and tell us how to reach you one more time.
Okay. My business is Gift of Graphics. You can reach me on Instagram at Moni from Mars, M-O-N-I from M-A-R-S. My name on Facebook is Monica Key, K-E-Y, Stanley. And what else? Oh, my website is giftofgraphics.com. And they can just reach me in the contact section of my website.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and allowing us to kind of talk to you on Funeral 614. I also wanted to give a shout out because she's a Sister Greek. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta.
Hey.
We are a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. So it was really nice to talk with you and to share your craft and your passion. And so I thank you so much and you have a great day.
All right. You do the same. Thank you,
Monica.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. Her the graphics really, I have not seen a funeral program that, I've seen a lot of funeral programs.
It's like detail.
The detail that she put into it and just just every page kind of, it just kind of pops
out.
It's
awesome.
I'm going to have to talk with her a little bit afterwards.
This is
because
awesome.
The detail and how she kind of put that together is really.
Like, it's like a magazine, y'all. Yeah. Like,
I'm serious. It's fire. It is fire.
Straight magazine.
It is fire. So I'm glad I was able to kind of reach out to her and talk to her. And I understand because you don't want to profit. And that's why when people were talking about doing this, and I say it's not really for me. I really wanted to do something for the community to kind of have an opportunity that if they want to share some condolences or if they want to, share some well wishes, they have somewhere to go. Because sometimes you have all that built up. You're like, I need to.
Yeah, because I've been crying. I've been having this throat punch cry.
You're like, I feel like I got to do something. And then they had not announced the service. You're like, okay.
You can't go all the way to LA.
No, you can't. So you're like, I got to be able to do something. And I think, we've done this before when other celebrities have passed before. And I think that it's just a way for us to grieve together as a community.
And this just feels different. I mean, you talk about these other celebrities that pass away and, you know, you grieve for them. But this one is just so different. And I don't know why, and I can't explain it, but it just feels so different.
It does. I think part of it that feel, Sean, I'm trying to find what is it? Is it because maybe I'm 44 and it's close in age?
Mm-hmm.
Was it because of how, am I feeling that because of a wife? And I'm thinking, man, What would that mm-hmm. be like at my household without yeah. without one of my daughters and yep. my husband?
Yeah.
That to me is like, whoa, wait, yeah. I can't even get past daughter right. and husband. Yeah. So that in itself, and then I think just the man, he it just really so, started to was, be, not do anything with family. He just started kind of
living. Like, and that's what I said on Facebook. Like, I wasn't a huge Kobe Bryant fan. Of course, you know, you talk about how my favorite thing is the trash can and the paper and how everybody did the little fadeaway, the Kobe thing. Uh-huh. So, of course, I did that. You know, I was a basketball player.
Like Kobe.
But my favorite player was Scottie Pippen. And then Vince Carter came along and, you know, I had a crush on Vince Carter. But, you know, I didn't start following him or being invested in what he was doing until he retired.
Right.
And so I think that is something that I'm struggling with, because even like I said on Facebook, like, he was just starting to live. Like, this was his purpose. So, yeah, he had basketball and he did things unintentionally, in my opinion, but now he was being intentional with the work, with his purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where I'm struggling at right now, is that he just started to live and have purpose in life.
Right. And I think one of the things that I was kind of came to mind is, like, he was intelligent
mm-hmm.
And he was intellectually gifted.
Yes.
It was like he just...
He was, like, trilingual. Like, right. He spoke so many languages right. and nobody would have known.
Right,
but he's done press conferences in those languages before.
Right. Just, I mean, he was just brilliant.
He was, and nobody would know that.
Yeah, I think it was way more than basketball.
It was just so unexpected. And I think, like, everybody's like, nah. Like, you know, you have celebrities that pass away and you're like, oh, no, that ain't happened. But with this one, it's like, no. Like, you tripping. Like, right. that ain't happened. Right. It's Kobe.
Right.
Like, Kobe?
Right.
Nah.
And I think, and just the point that he, the reason why he even was, the method of transportation he mm-hmm. picked was so that he would have more time at home.
More time.
That just blows my yep. mind. Like, that is, that was the sole purpose of why right. why you even traveled like
right.
that. Because you're like, I'm not missing nothing. Right. And I just, I don't know, my heart just aches really for yeah. his family. And just as a funeral director, I know that, you know, right now you're surrounded by, you know, right after someone passes, you're surrounded by mm-hmm. everyone who's calling and texting, mm-hmm. how are you? But then it just kind of fizzles.
Right.
And then you're in that moment by yourself.
Yeah.
And then just that moment yeah. with, you know, a not even a year old baby. Mm-hmm. It just,
she was only seven. Well, she is 7 months.
That is
7 months.
That's chilling.
Yeah.
That's chilling.
Yeah.
So what would you think? What is your favorite Kobe moment?
I would say when he won a championship without Shaq.
Okay.
2010.
Now, why'd you pick that one?
Because everybody always used to say, oh, he got them first three rings mm-hmm. only because of Shaq. Right.
Okay.
So by him doing something without Shaq and not as much help as he had before,
okay.
then that was a great moment.
I think that was probably one of his favorite moments too.
And I think that was one, when I was watching the interview with Shaq this week, that was one of the things he was saying. He mm-hmm. was like, they would be like, I got four, you
right,
got five.
Right. Yeah.
And that was kind of like their running joke, because, you know, when they did separate, it just, mm-hmm. that was mm-hmm. awesome. What do you think inspired you most about Kobe as a player?
Just his Mamba mentality. Mm. Like, he was just so tough. He played through all the toughest times. He played with a broken fingers, and he shot his last his two free throws with a torn Achilles
mm-hmm.
and walked off the court. He never wanted to get carried off doing anything by any of his injuries.
Right.
He'd always wanted to walk off by himself.
And mm-hmm. I think he said that his family was there, and he was like, and my girls were there. So mm-hmm. he was like, you even see the video of him walking to the car. He was
right.
like, you're not
going to
see me in no chair being, no, I'm not doing
right.
that. And so that, yeah, I mean, it didn't even, because, you know, sometimes people, the pain, you can see it on Facebook.
Yep.
He shot them free throws like what?
Yep.
Yeah,
I don't know if y'all noticed his last game where he played against Utah
mm-hmm.
and he had the 60 points. He was at the free throw line. Gordon Hayward did a lane violation just in case he missed it, just so he can get his 60th point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he missed it, I got a lane violation on him so he can get
so
another
can
chance to shoot.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
And that just kind of just shows you, like, how much the players respect him and how how, I don't even want to say faithful, but just how they admired him so mm-hmm. much because of that. I mean, and just listening to so many of the current players now, that, you know, something like that is just like yeah. awesome.
Yeah. And I think also with that, I laughed because he said his daughter was like, "Dad, where'd that come from?" And he was like, you know, I can't play. You know, but they were old enough now to kind of really watch. Because remember, right. he played while they were little, when the older girls were little. So it was like, they were like, "Dad, you right. balled out."
Right.
So just to go out, I mean, just to go out on that highlight. And I think yeah. because he was a celebrity, I'm thankful for all of the interviews that mm-hmm. he did a lot yeah. of interviews. And yeah. I think that is kind of what will help to continue to build the legacy
yeah.
Going forward.
Yeah. And one thing that I like too, I mean, not even the fact that, you know, him coaching his daughter, but the fact that, you know, he started mentoring and developing current players. Mm-hmm. Like, that is something that's mm-hmm. just like, and that's why I keep saying he just started his purpose. Like, just all Listen, those players I don't that he know, just started to develop.
I don't know the player's name, but I think she played for UConn. And she said that he sent her a tweet after they had lost the game. And he basically asked her, "Have you watched the game?"
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, "No, it was too painful. I couldn't watch." And he was like, "No, mm-hmm. you're going to play them again. You're going to see them again. And you need to know how to, right. you know, you need to watch the film." And she said that he invited her over and they watched the film.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "You have to face it.
Yeah.
You have to." And that kind of just that it just showed that he cared enough to kind of say, you know, you got to yeah. improve your game and you yeah. can't let. He never let being knocked down, you know, stop him, because he talked about even when he played when he was 11 and he never scored any
yeah,
points. And it's like he was like, "I ain't scored nothing." And so to me, it's just like he never let that he used that to fuel. And mm-hmm. that to me, you can almost use that even if you didn't play basketball. You can use that now to kind of make your mm-hmm. life better.
He yeah.
he just excuses were not. He didn't take yeah. excuses.
Yeah.
What are excuses? What's your closing? What's your closing remarks about Cody?
I would like to say Kobe was the best to ever do it. Hands down to me, on and off the court.
Yeah.
He was a coach. He was a player, a dedicated player. Win, lose, or draw, he's going to go out there, give it his all, and he wants his teammates and friends and everyone else to do the same.
Yeah.
What he was strong. Saying? He was tough.
Yeah, it's just that you have to appreciate that mama mentality, that there are no excuses. The first one in, the last one out, the work hard. You know, if you want to be great at something, you got to put the work in. You know, nothing is given to you. And, you know, he played like that for those 20 years, and after retirement he was still doing that. That's mm-hmm. still mm-hmm. Everything that he did, he was still giving, you know, over 100%. So yeah,
right. I think one of the things he said, he retired from basketball because he was done. He was mm-hmm. like, "I felt like I had accomplished what I had yeah, set out to like, do, and I was done. And he didn't even really start. He said he didn't really start watching the game again until his daughter came interested, yeah. because he kind of then put his talents into something else. I think I was reading an article that said he always asked his friends, what next?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of, even after this has happened, I think that leaves us still. He's still asking mm-hmm. his friends.
Like, what do you do next after basketball?
Yeah. What next?
Right.
What next? And so I think even after he has passed, I think it leaves his family with saying, what next? And how can we honor his legacy? And even just in my craft, how can I be better as a funeral director, as an owner? How can I serve the community better? I think he has caused everyone to kind of say, okay, what's next? And so I thank you all for being on the podcast with me. Again, we want to dedicate this to the nine lives that passed: Kobe and his daughter, John, Carrie, and Alyssa, Altobelli, Sarah and Peyton Chester, Christina Masser, who was the defense coach, and the pilot.
Defense coach.
Yeah, she was the defense coach.
Yeah.
So I really want to make sure that their families knows that we are thinking about them and praying for them, because we know Kobe as the icon, but their family will now have someone who's not going to be at the table.
Right.
And in the coach's case, you know, there's three family members.
Yeah.
So it is a great loss all around. But the legacy for each individual will continue. And so I thank you guys for coming on to the show. Thank you for participating. Thanks for coming out to the Central Ohio Memorial Tribute for Kobe Bryant. Well, that's our time, and we look forward to our next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate our audience. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Store, or wherever you consume podcasts. If you feel so inclined, leave us a comment. But please be sure to share this episode in your circle of influence. Until the next episode, I'm Lori Diaz, the funeral chick. Remember to serve well and have fun. Make it a great day.